Hi, Nicole Munoz here, and welcome to episode 2 of the Baptist Mom Show. I am so glad that you are here joining us today. And if you have already listened to episode 1, great, you are all caught up to date. If you haven't listened to episode 1, then you probably want to go back and listen to that episode first. On episode 1, I talk about who our family is, what we're doing, how we got started. And I also go into detail about how God worked in my life to bring me from a place of depression and emptiness to a place of joy, to a place of satisfaction, to a place of peace. And today we're going to pick up the story in episode number 2. We're going to pick up where we left off on episode number 1. So if you haven't watched episode 1, you might want to go listen to episode 1. You might want to go back and do that. And if you have, great. And let's get started. So the story picks up the day after December 13th. So December 14th, 1990 is when the story picks up. And this was this is the day after that I had gotten saved. So on December 13th, 1990, as I was alone in my room, I called out to God and I said, God, I don't know even if you're real. I'm not even sure that you actually exist, but if you are, I give my life to you. I pray that you'll save me. I pray that you'll come into my heart. And I remember that after saying those words, I had a peace and a joy that I had never felt before in my entire life. And that's later on, as I mentioned in episode 1, that's when the Holy Spirit came into my life and began to fill me with the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. So what happened next? So I got saved, and then the next day, of course, I was in high school. So the next day when I went to school, just like normal, my dad would drop me off. It's in the at the businesses right across the street from the school, where I would hang out with my friends for about 30 minutes before we would actually go into classes. And as I was hanging out there with my friends, I remember that, these aren't the friends of the nice athletes or the people that are really in the academics. These were pretty much the druggy crowd and the bad kids in school. So we were hanging out there in front of the school, before actually going onto campus. And I remember, these were just my friends. So I just said to them, you know what? Yeah. Last night, I asked Jesus to save me, and I remember my friends just kind of like looking at me like, what? What are you talking about? Jesus just saved you? But one of the things that my friends did is they prided themselves on not judging other people, because, they would always say, well, we're going to dress rebellious because we don't want anyone to tell us what to do, and you shouldn't judge us by how we dress. So they were big on, not having people, not judging other people and not be judged. So when I said that to them, it was like, oh, well, okay. If that's what makes you happy, that's great. They really didn't know how to respond to that. But I was just sharing what I did the night before. And I remember one of them said to me, okay, well, that's cool, but just don't become a Bible thumper. And I was like, okay, sure, I will make sure I'm not a Bible thumper. But inside I was thinking, what's a Bible thumper? I have no idea. Is that some type of a religion? Later on, I figured out he was just trying to say, don't become too fanatical about it, which I guess I shouldn't have made that promise, because it was something I definitely could not keep. Well, I went to school that day, and then after school, if you remember from episode 1, Pastor Alex, who was the youth pastor of Calvary Chapel, he was actually on the campus that day. So it's after school, and I saw Alex, and I went up to him, and he started to talk to me and was saying, great that you've been coming to church, and we're going to have this activity. And I said, so I was talking to him, and I said, yes, and by the way, last night I prayed and I asked Jesus to save me. Oh my goodness, Alex got so excited. He's like, oh my goodness, that's so amazing and that's so awesome. And I didn't understand why Alex was just so excited, but he got very, very excited. And that was just made an impression on me that I just told him the same news that I had told my friends, and Alex was rejoicing over that news. Well, Alex, him and his wife, Christy, they lived very close to Calvary Chapel Vista. They lived about, I think, like almost across the street from that from the campus of the church. But Alex and his wife, Christy, they would drive all the way over to my house, which is probably about a 10-minute drive. And they began to pick me up and take me to church services every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And because, of course, I was 15, didn't have a car yet. And I remember, you know, a couple times they invited me to their home, and they actually presented me with my very first Bible. They bought me a very nice, beautiful Bible, not those cheap $5 ones. It was one of those nice, expensive Bibles that you buy for someone that you usually buy for yourself, or you buy for someone that's maybe a family member or something. And they bought me my very first Bible. And then Christy, what she used to do, this is Alex's wife, Christy, is she began to come to my home every Tuesday afternoon after school, and she began to disciple me. And we had a 10-week program. We had a little blue book that we went through. And I think that this discipleship program was definitely the one thing that changed my life. I mean, salvation changed my life, but that discipleship, the 10 weeks of discipleship with Christy, is what helped me to stay the course, which was what helped me to get really, really grounded and really to get a lot of those early questions answered right away in the right way. So we had this formal discipleship book that we would go through, and this book basically taught you to read a chapter of the Bible every single day. It taught you that you should pray every single day, and then it also had some basic doctrinal and, you know, introduction about what happens after you get saved, what's the next steps that you should take. And I remember Christy coming over, and our discipleship program was probably supposed to last about 45 minutes. She was usually there about 90 minutes, if not even not longer, because I would just have question after question. I would just say, look, I was reading this in my Bible, and I had this question. I remember there were sometimes questions she couldn't answer that she's like, I don't know, but I'm going to find out, and I'm going to come back. I'll get back to you. And I remember what Christy taught me was that every single time we have a question, it's good to ask those questions, and it's good to make sure those answers, they come from the Bible, and that to find out what a Bible verse means, you shouldn't just take one Bible verse and think, oh, well, the Bible says this Bible says this and this one verse, therefore we're going to build a whole philosophy or life teaching around that. No, she taught me that we should compare scripture with scripture, and if it's really a doctrine of God, then it's going to be taught various times throughout the scriptures. And so that was just a huge, huge, huge help in my life. And I remember that on about 28 days, pretty almost 28 days, maybe it was a few bit more, because we didn't start the discipleship program like on day one of my salvation, but so maybe I was saved maybe 5 weeks or 6 weeks. But it was when I got to read Matthew 28, where it tells you to go out and tell everybody about, when the Bible says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them these things which I have commanded you. Well, you know, if you've listened to my episode number one, you might know by now, or you will know after I say this, I pretty much take things pretty literally. So I remember as I was sitting there in my house after school reading Matthew 28, and it says you should need to go and tell people. I thought, wow. I closed my Bible and I thought, well, who can I go and tell? Where is there a lot of people? And I thought, well, there's a lot of people at the mall. So I grabbed my things and I went to I was 15 years old, didn't have a car yet. So I went down to the bus stop and I got on a bus and I went to the mall where there was people. And as I was wandering around this mall by myself, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm here. I have my Bible in one hand and I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus. What do I do now? So I began to think, well, I remember that before I got saved, people would just walk up to me and say, you know, God loves you. Why don't I just do that? I may not be able to know, tell them everything else, but I know what God did for me. And so that's what I did. I walked around and I told a few people, you know, God loves you, started a few conversations with some people, and then I headed home. And that was just, I just remember that distinctly, that was something that, you know, the Bible says we should go and do this. So let's just do it. So I did that. And then a few weeks after that, I was in church, and I remember the pastor all the time saying, John 3:16. So I went up to Christy and I asked her, what is this John 3:16 that everybody is always talking about? And so she showed me where John 3:16 was in the Bible, the famous Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I remember another time, in the Sunday school class, I actually invited my sister to come to church with me. And I was so excited that she was there in church with me for the very first time. And I remember that the youth pastor said, okay, open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. And I was like, okay, I'm going to show my sister how much I know the Bible. So I found what I thought was John, but it was actually a book of 1 John. So I opened up the book of 1 John, which is right before Revelations. And I'm looking for John chapter 15, and there's no John chapter 15. It's just not there. And I'm like, and the pastor is reading from the scriptures, and I'm flipping to the front, looking at the index, flipping to the back. I mean, if you're talking about God saved me, he saved someone that did not know anything about the Bible. I did not know what John 3:16 was. I did not know that there was a 1 John and that there was a book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When God saved me, he saved someone that did not know anything about the Bible. I know I meet a lot of, today, as a missionary, and when people look at me and they look at my family and they look at my husband, they look at what we're doing, a lot of times people assume that my dad was a pastor, and they say, oh yeah, you grew up in your dad's a pastor, right? I'm like, nope, my dad's not a pastor. Or they'll say to me, oh, you grew up in a Christian home, right? Nope, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was the one of the lost of the lost people and had absolutely no Bible education, no Bible knowledge when I got saved. I remember after that too, that when I got saved, Alex, he began to do Bible studies on our high school campus during lunch. And this was huge, 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 had a huge impact on my life. And it was amazing to have a group of, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40 people there. And there was a couple of them that would play guitars during the, before, and we would have a little time of worship there. And then Alex would teach us things. And I remember so much some of the things that Alex challenged us to do there. One of the things that he said was to not, miss this huge opportunity that we have, and that we will never have a greater opportunity to have access to such a large number of people to witness to as we do right now, right then in high school. And he challenged us to not waste that opportunity. He challenged us that don't graduate from high school and wish that you would have done more. And I remember that had a huge, huge impact in my life. I also remember that Alex teaching us there that most Christians, after they get saved, they only last about 3 years, and then they stop going to church, or they stop going to church within the first 3 years. And so I thought, well, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be someone that is quits in the first 3 years. This is huge. I feel happy. I feel joyful, and I know it's going to be hard in the next couple of years, but I don't want to be a statistic. So I ended up making a decision that I was going to stay in the church for 3 years and one day, and then after that, if I wanted to quit, I would quit. I mean, God works differently in everybody's life, and that's just how God worked on my life, to give me a challenge, to give me a goal, to say, okay, I need to last this long, and later on we'll make another decision, but I needed to have at least that goal, and that's how God worked on my life. I remember that Alex also taught us about, when he talked to us about sharing the truth with other people and sharing about salvation, there's a lot of times people would think, oh, well, I don't know much about the Bible. And so as we studied the book of Acts, Alex began to share with us how the early apostles, they simply shared what God had done in their life. You know, they didn't even have a complete Bible to study from. They were writing the Bible. Paul wrote the Bible. So, wrote most of the epistles in the New Testament. So what the apostles did, if you study some of their speeches that they gave in the book of Acts, all they're talking about is, look, this is what happened to me. And they're giving their personal testimonies of salvation. And that's what I began to do. I thought, well, I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't know a lot of doctrine. I'm reading the Bible every single day like they taught me to, but I don't know a lot of stuff. But I know what God did for me. I know that something's different. I know that I have joy where I didn't have joy before. I know that I have peace where I didn't have peace before. I know that this empty hole in my heart that's gone is gone, and it's now filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I began to do. So at high school, I made a good friend. Her name is Hannah, and Hannah is actually a missionary in Germany right now. But God led us on different paths, but you know, both of us had a passion for ministry, for service, and for seeing people saved. Well, Hannah, she really took me under her wing, and I am so thankful for the friendship that she gave to me. She helped answer a lot of my questions, and she befriended me. And what we used to do is every single day, Hannah and I would meet for lunch. So Alex would come maybe once a week to do the Bible study on campus. And then what Hannah and I would do is every single day we would meet. She would have her guitar, and we might, sometimes we would have a worship service where we invited the other teens and the Christian teens to get together, and we would all sing and sing hymns and get a group of kids of 30, 40, 50 kids in the school campus all singing. And then what we would do on the other days when we didn't do that is we would walk around, and wherever there would be a little group of 3, 4, 5 students, we would have tracts, which are little brochures that have Bible verses on them that teach people, you know, how they too can be saved. And we would walk up to groups of people, and we would give out the tracts, and we would start a conversation with them to try to invite them to church. And frequently, this is in high school, there was always somebody that wanted to debate with us. More specifically, they wanted to debate with me. So frequently, probably 2 or 3 times a week, so we had Alex once a week, we had a worship time with Hannah playing her guitar and all of us singing, and then we had another, you know, going around and witnessing to kids, and then maybe once or twice a week, we ended up having large groups of kids, maybe 10 to 30 kids. Usually it would start with one person. Usually they would be a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Pentecostal that believed that you could lose your salvation, and they would want to argue with me. So we would walk up to a group of kids. We would give them a tract, invite them to church, start to talk to them, and then they would want to argue with me about salvation. And I didn't know much, but I knew I was saved. I knew that, you know, God is love, and I knew I couldn't lose my salvation. I knew that something was completely different, and we would start to have a discussion, and pretty soon the other kids would be like, what's going on? And other kids would come around and listen, and usually I would be arguing or discussing, and I remember that one of the other things that Alex taught us was, don't argue about these minor things. He says people will always try to bring you back and to argue about Noah's Ark, or argue if a flood was possible, or argue about creation. He taught us don't get involved in these discussions. Just bring it back to salvation, because what these people really need is they really need to just get saved. And that's what I would do, is no matter what they were arguing about, I would just bring it back to salvation. I would bring it back to that we're all sinners. That would bring back to that we're all sinners, that we're for our sins, that we deserve to go to hell, that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins, and that the only way to go to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I would show them verses like Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when they would come to me and they would say, well, what about this other religion? I'd say, well, no, Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. That he is the only way. And so we're just using Bible verses to show them, no, and just focused and bringing it back to salvation, and had huge opportunities there. And throughout throughout school to witness to people. And we, Hannah and I, and from that all of the time in church at Calvary Chapel Vista, I was bringing people to church. I mean, everywhere I went, I was leaving tracks and inviting people. It was just a time of huge spiritual growth in my life those first 6 months. I mean, when I got saved, I got saved. God saved me from that. I think the huge thing for me was, before I got saved, there I was empty. My heart was empty. Something was missing. I could never feel joy or peace or happiness. And after I got saved, all of that changed. God filled that empty hole in my heart. And that's what we're doing here on Baptist Mom, with the Baptist Mom Show. I have different ideas about different episodes of what we can be covering during this show. And as I said in episode number one, our theme verse for the Baptist Mom Show is Galatians 5:22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," with a focus on joy. And talking about my goal here with Baptist Mom is to talk about things about how we can get that joy back into our life, how we can have that joy as a mom, how our teenagers can have joy, how our children can have joy, and how we can have joy in our churches. Because if we are truly abiding with Christ, if we truly have a relationship with Christ, then we are going to see the true fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's my goal with Baptist Mom Show. So I thank you so much for tuning in to episode 2. Now in episode 3, I'm going to be talking a little bit about how God worked in my life to show me different things, to move me from the Calvary Chapel Church, which I am so thankful for that, for everything they taught me and everything, how God used them to bring me to Him. And I'm going to show you what happened in my life and the things that God revealed to me through His scriptures, through the Bible, and which brought me to the Baptist Church. So I'm going to show you why I made that change, how that change happened. I'm going to show you the ways that God worked miraculously in my life to show me exactly what church He wanted me to go to. And so I'm going to share all that in episode 3. So I hope you join me in episode 3 of the Baptist Mom Show. And I will hope to see you then.